Morning.
Good morning.
Well, I want to introduce our speaker for today. And she's one of our very own, and we're so proud of her because I also want to make a presentation to her. So, Jackie Compton, would you come up? Let's see if I need this. Well, you have been on quite a journey. And this journey, anyone who was around in November, we celebrated Jackie becoming a licensed Unity teacher. At the time, we didn't have all her credentialing materials. But now we do. So today, I didn't want to just hand them to her. I wanted to present them to her because it is an honor to have gone through the program that you've gone through, and I must admit, in record time. Took me about 10, 15 years to get through the program. But I just want to read the first paragraph of a letter that they've sent to you. And the letter is dated November 30th, 2023, so that's when it was official. And it says, congratulations. Thank you for sharing yourself and your talents during SDS, which is Skills Demonstration. We acknowledge and give thanks for the blessing you are and the benefits you will receive as you serve others. The UWM, which is Unity Worldwide Ministries Board, has approved your licensed Unity teacher status. Please keep us updated on any changes in your contact information. So we want to jump in there too, because we also want to congratulate you and let you know we are so proud of you here at Unity Church of Light. So I want to present you, this says Licensed Unity Teacher Adult Education. This certifies that Jacqueline Compton, Unity Church of Light, has successfully fulfilled all requirements and is therefore recognized by the Board of Trustees as a licensed Unity teacher. The use of the title of licensed Unity teacher is granted only to those who are affiliated with a ministry recognized by Unity Worldwide Ministries and those who abide by the ethics and standards of this association. So given this day, the 28th day of November 2023, I want to present you with your certificate.
Thank you.
And you might turn it around. I also have for you your credentialing card. And most of all, you have a Unity, your credentialing pin, and your licensed Unity teacher pin. So wear them proudly because we are proud of you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you for being a part of our progress. We'll hear from Jackie Compton.
Today we're going to talk about healing. The Unity Movement grew out of the personal healing experiences of both Myrtle and Charles Fillmore, the co-founders of Unity. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. Now both Myrtle and Charles had serious health challenges, and it affected their marriage. We always kind of think of Myrtle and Charles as like these kind of like godheads. They don't ever have any problems. But this is what Myrtle said about their marriage. There were family problems. We were a sickly lot. and came to a place where we were unable to provide for our children. And that is pretty serious, isn't it? If anybody's been in that situation, then they know how horrible that is. Now, Myrtle had been sick for most of her life, and she believed that because of her ancestors and her relatives dying from horrible diseases, that she would also die from a very serious illness at a young age. And she had contracted tuberculosis when she was very young. And around the age of 40, 43, something like that, she was she was given a prognosis by the doctors that she only had 6 months to live. She's pretty young at that age. So her condition got worse, and Charles and her went to spiritual lectures in order to try to find an answer. So now they went to one, and she heard this one idea that really stuck with her, really resonated with her. You are a child of God, and therefore you do not inherit illness. Now Myrtle meditated on this idea because it really vibrated inside of her, and she realized that life was simply a form of energy which had to be guided by the person in order for them to get what they wanted in life. Now it flashed upon her that if she might talk to all of the cells in her body, everyone, and tell them what she wanted them to do, which was to be filled with life and alive. She began repeating this phrase over and over to herself many times a day. I am a child of God, and therefore I do not inherit sickness. Now she began talking to every cell in her body, raising them up, lifting them up, praising them, claiming their wholeness and their perfection. Now she even asked her body for forgiveness for the way that she had thought of her body as feeling like it had betrayed her, or it was just not doing well, and you know, she was angry at it, and it had disappointed her all these years. And she asked her body for forgiveness. Now she made good progress, and in 2 years she was completely healed of the tuberculosis. And not only that, but she never even had so much as a sniffle the remainder of her 43 years of life. Now that's saying something, isn't it? Doctors probably weren't very happy with her, but anyway. Now this dynamic healing changed her. It was remarkable. So she went from being frail, near death, to being a vibrant and glowing person. Well, all of her friends around her wanted her to heal them too. And so she talked to them. She shared her insight and her understanding with them. Now, Myrtle she became a healer at that point, and she worked with each person individually, and she told each person the same exact thing, and this was this. You are God's beloved child. God's will for you is health. The healing power of the Christ is in you. You can have perfect wholeness by realizing this truth. And in your bulletins, you should have gotten a bookmark which has those words on it. So that was Myrtle's story. Now Charles Fillmore's story is a little less known. Now Charles was an invalid, and seldom was free of chronic illness, chronic pain, from the time he was 11 years old when he had an ice skating accident, and he broke his hip, or he dislocated his hip or something. Anyway, they did a surgery on it, and they kind of botched the surgery. And then they did primitive remedies. Now you have to remember, this was in the 1860s, so they probably didn't have a whole lot going on for him. And it messed up the leg, and the leg stopped growing. And as an adult, his one leg was 4 inches, now 4 inches is a lot, 4 inches shorter than his normal leg. Now the way he got around was he wore a steel apparatus on his leg from the time he was a child to stabilize his leg, and then he would use crutches to get around. Now Charles was an agnostic, and he did not take things on blind faith. He was a researcher, so he had an inquiring scientific mind. So, and he was also a businessman, and he didn't put too much stock into what Myrtle was doing with her life. However, after he watched her get well and heal herself, and then watched these people who she was working with get well and heal themselves, he started scratching his head and saying, well, what is with this? This is pretty good. But he just didn't take it on faith. He had to research. He went to every lecture that he could go to. He read every book that was out there to find out what the answer was and why this was happening. Now, Charles began applying these healing principles to his own withered leg. His chronic pain ceased, his hip healed and grew stronger, and his leg lengthened until years later he could get rid of that steel apparatus thing, and then he downsized from crutches to a cane, and then he was able to discard the cane at one point, so he could not walk normally. And when he died, they measured his leg, and it had grown to within a half an inch of his normal leg. Now, that's pretty remarkable. Now, as individuals, Myrtle and Charles approached healing differently. This is important. Myrtle's acceptance was rather sudden. Oh, here's the answer. And she jumped in with both feet. Now, Charles was slower to respond. He just kind of put his toe in the water at first, trying to check it out. And he needed evidence and proof that healing was a real thing. Now, despite their different approaches to healing, Myrtle's being faith and Charles being science, which is the perfect combination, both enacted the spiritual principles of healing, which is that healing is a result of a divine intelligence. We have hardwired inside us an intelligence that heals us. We have a propensity toward healing. Now I want you to picture this. It's the middle of the night and you are asleep. You wake up to go use the restroom. Now it's dark and you stub your toe. Now what is the very first thing that you do after you stub your toe? Other than the cursing, of course. Anybody got an idea? You hold it, don't you? You hold your toe, you clamp your hands around it. Now, you didn't stand there and say, oh, geez, you know what? I stubbed my toe, and I think if I hold it, it might make it feel better. No, it's not like that. You do this, because that's what makes it feel, because we know to do that. If we have a headache, what do? We rub our head. We don't think about it. We just do it. And if we see somebody who's hurting, we'll go up and we'll give them a hug, because that is what we are hardwired to do. We are hardwired to heal ourselves and help other people heal themselves. Mm. Now, Myrtle embraced this divine intelligence idea, and so did Charles. Hers was more immediate. She changed her perspective, and she told herself the truth about themselves. Every cell in her body was a perfect divine creation expressing health. Despite appearance, that's the tricky part, that's what people trip over. Despite appearance, the truth was that she was perfect in her body. Her body was perfect. Now she laid hold of the spiritual truth of healing. She repeated this affirmation and denied all day long. I am a child of God and therefore I do not inherit sickness. I keep repeating that, right? Because it's important to hear it and understand it. She denied the power of her false belief that she could inherit sickness from her human parents. And she affirmed and claimed her inheritance of goodness, wholeness, health, and perfection from her divine parent. The big difference. Mm-hmm. I have been an energy healer for many years. And I've had many experiences with the healing principles. Now, a friend of mine, this was years ago, a friend of mine was sick. And her husband asked me to come over to their house and to give a treatment on her. Now, she had had pneumonia for 8 weeks. And all the treatment and all the medications that they had given her was not doing anything for her. And she was not doing very well at all. So on the first day I came to her house, the husband greeted me at the door and took me into the bedroom. Now, Nancy was resting. Now, I want to tell you something about Nancy. Now, Nancy was what I consider sophisticated. I have a low expectation of what expectation is, but this is what it was. Okay, she would always have makeup on. Her hair would always be fixed. She would be dressed smartly. And she would always be friendly and loving. Now, when I walked in that bedroom, Here was Nancy. I'd never seen her like this before. Her hair was messed up. She had no makeup on. She had her bedclothes on. And she looked miserable. And I knew she was probably feeling self-conscious. And probably too tired to even feel self-conscious. Do you know what I mean? So I did the treatment on her, and I left. I came again the next day. Nancy answered the door. She was dressed. Her hair was messed up, no makeup on. But she had the strength to get up and put clothes on and answer the door. So that was a big improvement. I did a treatment on her and I left. The third day she answered the door. She was dressed. Her hair was combed. No makeup yet. But she was more talkative. It was obviously she was feeling much more energy and feeling better. I did a third session on her and I left. The fourth day, she answered the door. Her hair was fixed. Her makeup was on. She was dressed smartly and she was talkative. She was back to normal. I did a fourth treatment on her and I left and I didn't come back. Now here was a woman who had not responded to any of the medications or treatments that the doctors had given her. But in 4 days, she made a complete recovery. So what had happened? Was it a miracle? No. Nancy's response occurred because she embraced the truth. I did what Myrtle and Charles did. I affirmed the truth that Nancy was a child of God and that her physical challenge of pneumonia had no power over her. Nancy heard the truth that I spoke and she claimed it for her own. She began blessing every cell in her body by claiming the truth of who they were, who those cells were, who she truly was. Child of God, claiming God's grace and promise. I did not heal her. Nancy healed herself by claiming the truth about healing, just like Myrtle and Charles did. So what is healing? According to the Webster Dictionary, the definition of healing is, quote, to restore to original purity or integrity, unquote. There have been thousands of books written about healing. Charles Fillmore probably wrote 20 of them himself. In The Revealing Word, Charles wrote, quote, the first step in all spiritual healing is to believe. And the next step is openness and receptivity to the stream of healing life. All healing is based on mental cleansing. When the mind is free from error thoughts, harmony in the body ensues. Permanent healing is never accomplished until the mental cause of the disease, the error thought, is removed, unquote. Now, in the Gospel of John, there's a story about a healing pool of water. The myth was that an angel would come and stir the waters every once in a while, and the first person to get into the water was the person who was healed. Now, a paralyzed man had been laying beside this pool of water for 38 years. 38 years! But he believed that he could never be healed because no one would help him into the water when the angel stirred the water. Now, Jesus came along one day and he said to the man, do you want to be whole? Now, Jesus was asking the man if he wanted to be well. The old man didn't say yes or no. Instead, he told Jesus why he couldn't get in the water, because nobody would help him. And he was paralyzed and nobody would help him. Oh my gosh. Someone else would always jump in the water before he could even try to get in there. And that's why he had been lying there for 38 years and was miserable. Now, have you ever had that attitude? Oh, woe is me. Oh, poor me. My life is rotten because of other people. They're selfish. They won't help me. That's why I can't have what I want in my life. Jesus was asking the man, do you want your life to be different? Because healing demands change. Do you want to have an experience of strength and power and freedom in your life? This old man had been laying there for 38 years. He had forfeited his life by lying there, believing that he was powerless over his health. Perhaps it was Jesus' dynamic energy that shook the man to a higher level. who knows? Because the man said yes, he did want to be healed. Then Jesus said, rise up and walk. And the man got up and walked. He didn't have to get into the water at all. Now, unity interprets the Bible metaphysically. So this story is a spiritual metaphor. If we are really willing to stand in the truth of our wholeness, we must be willing to rise up from the conditions we have placed ourselves in and live the life we were meant to live. We must commit to seeing ourselves differently and acting differently. We must choose a new direction that expands our path in truth. This paralyzed man had been entrenched in his beliefs for a really long time, and his body and his life were paralyzed as a result, until Jesus Christ came along and expressed the truth to him. The man was already whole. He just needed to have faith about that and know the truth and accept it. Now, to feel happy, fulfilled, and joyful, we must rise up out of our egoic lower self and defy gravity. That's what Jesus was asking this man to do. Defy gravity. Stand up and walk. Defy the material, physical world that pulls us down. In order to heal, we must do something differently than what we have been doing. The definition of insanity is doing the same things over and over and over again and expecting different results. If there is a pattern of this in your life and you would like things to be different, you have to rise up, say, no, no, enough. This challenge has no power over me any longer. That's the denial part. I claim God's love for me. I am whole and healed. That's the affirmative part. Then make different choices that are healthier for you. Now, after Jesus helped people heal themselves, what were some of the things that he said to them? He said two things in particular that were common. Do you know what they are? Somebody's saying something, I can't hear you, what it is.
I said, go forth and heal others.
Okay. Anything else? Okay. The two common things that Jesus said to people after he healed them, or after they were healed, were your faith has healed you, and go and sin no more. Mm-hmm. Now, Jesus didn't take credit for the healings. He placed the responsibility of the healing directly on the person's shoulder. He said, your faith has healed you. He didn't say, my faith has healed you. The people heal themselves because we have their propensity toward health in us. Their own faith had healed them. And that in order to keep the healing permanent, they had to stop engaging in the error of thinking that they had been doing and stop believing the lies that they had been believing. Jesus was the helper, the way shower, the big brother who showed them the way and shows us the way, even today. Now, Jesus said that we could do the things that he did. Do you believe that? Do you believe it? Do you really believe it? Excellent. I believe it. I believe that we can heal ourselves and help others heal themselves. I believe that so much that I facilitated the healing circle at the Unity South Church. Now, what is required in order for someone to be healed? You could be like Myrtle and embrace the truth immediately, or you could be like Charles, just put your toe in the water, who had to watch and see and research and think about it before he could commit to healing. We all have different journeys toward healing. They all lead to the realization of healing and wholeness. Healing is why we are here. Now, Eric Butterworth, in his book, In the Flow of Life, you know I couldn't give it a lesson without mentioning Eric Butterworth. He's my favorite guy of all. He said, quote, the secret of healing of any kind is to correct the conditions that impede the natural flow of life by altering your state of consciousness, unquote. So to heal is to let go of what is no longer true for us and embrace what is absolutely true for us. To heal, we must enter the flow of life, have faith and courage, do a mental cleansing, stop believing in error and thinking erroneously, and then help others heal also. So you were right, Priscilla. Many people live lives of quiet desperation because they don't really want to change. They want to be out of their pain, but they don't want to do the really hard work that is required to embrace their wholeness and power. To grow to be a fully conscious person, we must enter the scary unknown inside of us, which includes working through our feelings and beliefs and accepting our divine magnificence. We can do the bare necessity and just get rid of our pain, but the pain is just the symptom. It can be a physical pain, it can be emotional pain, it can be mental pain of some kind. Whatever the pain is, it's just the symptom. The pain is just the messenger telling us that something deeper down needs release. And we talked about that today in Walk to Talk. Now, it's essential that we release and let go of those things that are tripping us up. To help you do that, I am going to be facilitating a 7-week discussion group during Lent using the new Lenten booklet out there, Let Go, Let God. It's out there in the foyer. It begins, this discussion group starts on February 13th, just for your information. It's a Tuesday evening, and it is on Zoom. So if you're interested, let me know. Here's why we need to release and let go of those false beliefs. If we don't address the root cause, it's not going to change. And what is the root cause of suffering? The belief that there is a separation between God and us. If we do not address that gigantic lie, the physical, mental, and emotional pain that we experience will just resurface in our lives as another form of suffering. To dig up the cause that keeps us sick, poor, fearful, miserable, depressed, and judgmental, we must go and sin no more, the other thing that he said, which means we let go of fear, judgment, anger, racism, all things negative, and we love God, we love ourselves, and we love others. We see the Christ in ourselves and others, and we see others and ourselves as God sees us, whole, perfect, complete, and filled with health. You see, we are, in reality, we're already whole, and there's no need for healing. It is our perception that needs healing. To feel real freedom, to be in the world but not of it, to be happy, joyous, and free, to experience the transformation we want, we must commit to taking a different path and enter the flow of life. Be willing to be receptive to change, to grow, and to know. Myrtle did it, Charles did it, Nancy did it, I've done it. Many, many people have done it. And if you want to do it, you can do it. In summary, health is our natural state of wholeness in mind and body. It is the very essence of being, universal and enduring. God is health and wholeness. We are health and wholeness. When we claim our divinity by embracing the truth about ourselves, our perception is aligned and restored, and our body and our life circumstances align and express wholeness as well. So let's claim that right now for ourselves. Let's get quiet and do a little meditation. Take some deep, slow breaths. Myrtle Fillmore told her students who were seeking healing, "You are God's beloved child. God's will for you is health. The healing power of the Christ is in you. You can have perfect wholeness by realizing this truth." So please bring to mind a situation or a condition in your life that you would like healed. And use Myrtle's words to address your need. The first statement is, "You are God's beloved child." I am God's beloved child. Let's say that together. I am God's beloved child. Take a few moments to reflect on that truth. Myrtle's next statement was, God's will for you is health. God's will for me is health. Let's say that together. God's will for me is health. I'll take a few moments to reflect on that truth. The next statement is, the healing power of the Christ is in you. The healing power of the Christ is in me. Let's say that together. The healing power of the Christ is in me. Take a few moments to reflect on that truth. Finally, you can have perfect wholeness by realizing this truth. I can have perfect wholeness by realizing this truth. Say that together. I can have perfect wholeness by realizing this truth. Now take a few moments to think about that. The entire affirmation is, I am God's beloved child. God's will for me is health. The healing power of the Christ is in me. I can have perfect wholeness by realizing this truth. Now put it all together for yourself. Take a few more moments to meditate on this wonderful truth. Let it resonate within you while you release and let go of any challenge you may be experiencing. We are so blessed. All healing energy flows through us now. Harmony, balance, vitality, that glorious wisdom that creates and sustains health is ours right now, all of that. We live in divine well-being now and always. With the awareness of this truth, we are very grateful. So let's say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
You are so much more than a body, more than your mind. What you are. Yes, you.